Let's turn to some great old verses talking about inspiration. We're turning to the divinely inspired word of God here. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. So those of you who have the Bible of our meeting, I think it's page 3. Yep. So Genesis 2, verse 15. And Jehovah, Elohim, took man and put him into the garden of Eden to till it and to guard it. And Jehovah Elohim commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it thou shalt surely die. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word together tonight. Well, what do you reckon? What do you think of that reading tonight? Did it come across to you as, well, a quaint little story from the Old Testament that we've read a few times before, maybe? And having read it tonight leaves you free to move on and think of other things. Please listen. Listen to this. Those divinely inspired verses from the living God have a personal message for you tonight. They're so urgent, they might have been written just an hour ago. Because if you remember, they were an account of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Yep. And what makes those verses so vitally important to you tonight is that, guess what? You are living in a Garden of Eden situation right now in your life. Even in this wonderful digital age that we're living in. And the parallels between the two gardens, the original one and our digital one, are uncanny. Because if you remember what transpired in that original Garden of Eden was marked by three things. That's knowledge, yeah, remember, good, yeah, and evil. You know what? If ever there was an age in the history of this world that was marked by knowledge, good, and evil, it's got to be this digital age that we're living in now. Take knowledge, for instance. Information is so easily available online today, isn't it? A child can be more informed online than adults. And an ordinary person like me can study the edge of the known universe like an expert. And, well, Google seems to have the answer for everything, doesn't it? To be fair, it has to be said that added to this abundant knowledge available in today's digital age, there is much, yeah, that is very good. For instance, it's possible online to understand, yeah, every word that's written in the Bible. That has to be good, doesn't it? Then, as we know, you can walk down the street chatting to and seeing someone who lives in Australia as though they were walking alongside with you. That's very good too, isn't it? Gotta be, isn't it? But unfortunately, as well as having knowledge and good in our digital Garden of Eden today, there's that third aspect of it. Yes, evil. A person living two houses away from you can ruin your life on Facebook or Twitter without leaving their home. That's evil. And you can be led astray online to all sorts of addictions today before you're aware what's happening to you. That's evil too, isn't it? There are people online, for instance, who would love to talk you into becoming a suicide bomber. Don't get more evil than that, does it? Yes, knowledge, good and evil. That's an exact description of you, your digital age that you're living in today. And not only that, the outcome, the actual outcome, what took place in the original Garden of Eden, was that the whole of mankind was infected with suffering and death. In our digital Garden of Eden today, there are viruses that affect business, banks and hospitals throughout the world, causing exactly the same thing, suffering and death, on a scale that's impossible to calculate. Yes, these parallels between the original Garden of Eden and the digital one that you're living in today undoubtedly deserve your urgent attention, because if the inspired word of the living God is right about them, it must be right of what's happening in your personal life too. The life that only you and your maker and creator know about. Yep. Tonight, God's word could be reminding you that the basis of all your problems are the result of living a life of disobedience to him. Exactly as it happened in the original Garden of Eden. Don't you think you need to put that right tonight, if that is necessary in your life? Well, the good news is that in spite of all that you've done wrong maybe in your life, you're feeling not too proud about, God is willing to put things right for you in your life. And his answer is beautifully presented in the Bible by another old favourite that can be linked to that first reading. It's found in the New Testament, but you don't need to turn to it if you don't want to. If you want to turn to it later maybe, or now, it's in Luke's Gospel chapter 19, verse 1. Page 1253. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was. And he could not for the crowd because he was little in stature. And running on before, he got up into a sycamore that he might see him. For he was going to pass that way. And when he came up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him with joy. Lovely little incident that in the life of the Lord Jesus. As we've often been reminded, here was a man who seemed to have had it all. He was a civil servant and he was rich. Oh, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being a civil servant. Nothing wrong with being rich. But as long as you're not rich in the wrong way, like Zacchaeus. Later on in the chapter, we're told about some of the wrong things in his life that Zacchaeus was willing to put right. But suffice to say, he knew that he was on the wrong pathway in life. And what did he do about it? Oh, he climbed a tree. Trees can be climbed for different reasons. They can be climbed just for pleasure. I climbed plenty as a kid, bit off a few as well. But you can get a temporary lift up from life by climbing a tree and feeling a bit up there, a bit different up there in the tree, yeah? Nothing wrong with that. If only it comes to climbing a tree to get a bit higher, yeah? But some people look for a lift up in their lives by getting high on drugs, etc. to success. Now those things are not easy to keep in check. And once you become down to them, once you come down from them, that is, you're no better off than when you started. So you have to keep on going back up again, getting high on these drugs. I've seen many people who all they live for when they wake up each day is to get a shot of crack or weed or whatever. and I just can't get off it. It's an addiction. But God has the perfect answer to that, and Zacchaeus realized it. He had the best of all reasons to climb that tree, because he used it to see God's answer to his problem in the person of no less than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus spoke to him personally that day, just as he can speak to you personally right here and now tonight. The first word he said to Zacchaeus was, "Come down quickly." Now those words could remind us of a divine principle. If you want the Lord Jesus to abide in your life forever, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, by the way, you need to make a climb down for him tonight. You need to repent. Alright, nobody says that's easy, but you really need to do it now, tonight. It's urgent. However much you've heard it before, tonight, let tonight be different for you. Yes. However much you've heard all of what I've said before, how about it? Let it be different for you. Don't let this wonderful opportunity of meeting the Lord Jesus pass you by. Sure, you know that repentance means that you say sorry to God for everything that's wrong in your life, as we've said. And yes, it does mean climbing down, even from your own ideas of what it involves to become a truly born again Christian. Some people have got their own ideas about that, but it's all there in the divine inspired word of God to put us right. I wonder if you'd be prepared to do that if you've never done that before in your life. Not easy to swallow your pride, is it? So maybe it would help if I reminded you of another tree in the Bible, of what the Lord Jesus has done for you. And again, if you ever want to refer it later, you don't have to now, it's in Galatians 3 verse 13. That's Galatians 3 verse 13, where it says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, by me being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." I won't attempt a deep theological explanation of that. If you want, just simply to say that, if you want the living, risen Lord Jesus to abide in your life now and forever, forever, just think of that. If you've got him in your life forever, life after death is a reality, not just a hope, not just a wishful thinking, a reality that starts right here and now in your life. Wow, that's got to be worth having, isn't it? And you avoid God's judgment on all the curse of sin that's within you and messing up your life. Then you must accept that perfect Lord Jesus who needed to die on the cross to actually become cursed of God in your place. I'm sure you know this, I don't know if you know this theology, but I'd like to remind you afresh of it. And instead of it being you, bring you right back to God. Right back to God tonight. Actually, when you think about it, you're a very privileged person in many ways. Even to be born in this world in the first place and witness all the miracles of creation that make up life. They're fantastic, aren't they? Sight, hearing, remembrance. That biological computer of a brain has got 17 billion neurons all working together. Now, that couldn't happen by accident, could it? Or a series of coincidence. It's got the hand of the creator behind it. It's got design behind it. I spent my life, 100 years it seems, as a graphic designer, and I can sense that everything in life has been so beautifully designed and fits together so well. It's got to be a God, there's got to be a Lord Jesus, and you need to be saved by him if you haven't been already. But the crowning glory of being a privileged person tonight has to be that you walk through this modern Garden of Eden to become reunited to your Maker and Creator through the person of Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. If you haven't taken that step of faith before, of repentance to the risen Lord Jesus and asking him into your life, don't cheat yourself of the greatest of all privileges you can have tonight. Reach out to him now. Receive and believe him into your life.